T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Go to Shiel Kapadia of The Athletic, who was one of the few handpicked reporters to sit down with Carson Wentz. Shiel, when did the interview actually take place?
It was on Thursday afternoon last week.
So it was Thursday. Who did their representative, Carson's reps, reach out to you? Was it set up through the Eagles? How did that go down?
No, it was through the team. So I think Carson and some of the public relations staff there had a talk. I know he's going to be promoting some charity work this week, and so I think he knew that when he's doing those events and doing those interviews, people were going to ask about that Philly Voice article and some of the stuff that has happened this offseason. So my understanding, the way it was explained to me, is that he wanted to get ahead of it a little bit, do the interview the week before, get those stories out there. That way, when he's doing some of the stuff for his foundation this week, you know, he can probably have an out and say, you know what, I discussed that last week. I kind of want to focus on my foundation, that type of thing.
It was definitely smart, and I think it was a very good idea to kind of control the situation. Were you guys were told no video, no audio? It was just to sit down. Were there any parameters in the interview?
No, no parameters. You can ask whatever you want. Yeah, the only thing was there was sort of an agreement for everyone to hold off from writing about it until today. That's why you saw the flood of stories today. But other than that, yeah, it was just, no TV cameras. They kind of described it as sort of a casual setup where he just sort of wanted to take the questions, respond, and sort of address some of the things that have been said about him this offseason.
Shiel, one more before we move on to actually what he said. Were you surprised that they – only, I think there were maybe 6 people there. Were you surprised that they tried to limit it and make it smaller? Or what was your feelings on that?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been part of something like that where, you know, I know other reporters have, but I haven't been part of something. Sometimes one person will call you and, you kind of get that story. But for it to be 5 or 6 and in a controlled environment, I had not been a part of that before. I think he, you know, the way it was explained to me again was that he just didn't want it to be this formal thing where he's calling this big press conference and having all these TV cameras and having it broadcast all over the place. He just wanted it to be a chance for him to address those things, I guess, to a smaller group of people.
How did you find him, his demeanor, his personality to be during this sort of Q&A?
You know, I think a couple things stood out. I think he was pretty relaxed. I know he just got back from a vacation. He was in Napa with his wife, and I know that was the time he was describing as sort of a time to get away. Not a lot of people, you know him there. He can walk down the streets, walk around without sort of, everyone knowing him as sort of the Eagles quarterback. So I thought he seemed pretty relaxed, and I thought he seemed pretty mature about all of the questions. You know, he's only 26 years old, and he has faced some criticism when he went through the draft process, but there really hasn't been a ton, especially since he's gotten to Philadelphia. You know, you look at what happened in his second season and how well he played. He hasn't been, like, thrown into the fire, and that was probably the most critical thing that's been written about him on a large scale. So I thought he was pretty mature in the way he addressed it and the way he answered the questions about some of those things.
Shiel, how would you characterize his demeanor towards the situation after reading it? And again, we don't get to hear it or see it, so you're left to kind of read through it. And I've read the transcript, I don't know how many times now. It doesn't really seem like he was apologetic. Like, he acknowledges that, I'm not going to say it was completely made up, but then he says that if the guys had issues, in hindsight, I wish we could have just talked about them. Then he goes on, he says, yes, I can be selfish, but I think we all have selfishness inside of him. It doesn't really seem like he was apologizing for anything. Would you agree with that?
I don't think he was apologizing, no. I think there were a few layers to this. I think number one is, a lot of the things that were written in that article is we've talked about before, many of us have written about before. You know, for example, just sort of his how stubborn, if you want to use that word, but he wants input on the offense. And, you know, I've talked to his coaches in college, I've talked to his coaches here, and that's 100% true. And that's not him just saying, hey, Doug, you know, why don't we do this? That's him saying, hey, Doug, I've watched the film on our third down package this week. This is what I think we should do. And mm-hmm. Doug Peterson might say, okay, that's a good idea. You know, let me look at the film. Let's see what you got there. And, okay, we'll go ahead and do that. Or that could be Doug saying, you know what, I don't think that's going to work against this certain coverage. Let's go somewhere else. And there are these, you know, Frank Reich would describe them as kind of competitive battles. And last year in 2017, when Carson is an MVP candidate, I'm writing about that as a huge positive. You know, the quarterback's doing the work and he has input and it's this great collaborative working environment. But then you fast forward to the next year, things aren't working out well. You can't score more than 24 points. And now it turns into, hey, you know, the quarterback is stubborn and he's having these battles with coaches, that kind of thing. So I think there is a fine line there, and a lot of it is really results-based, based on what's happening on the field. But the process and the way Carson Wentz wants to have that input, the way I've seen it, that hasn't changed since really the minute he got into the league. That isn't different than who he was in college.
Mm-hmm. Shield, this whole thing with Nick, right, whether it's a real story from the outside about Nick and Carson, is sort of developed into that. So even with that piece there, it even came off a little bit as Nick would be a guy that the Eagles should be moving forward with as opposed to Carson Wentz. And I'm just wondering from Carson's standpoint, did he ever feel threatened by that? The whole situation with Nick, he and Nick's relationship, your thoughts from him about that?
I don't think he's felt threatened, because I know that Doug behind the scenes has really been talking to Carson a lot throughout the process and, you know, reassuring him, hey, you're our guy, and building him up and that kind of thing. Now, having said that, I thought maybe the most interesting thing that Wentz said was that the last year has been really difficult for him. And he was very honest about that, saying, you know what, December, 14th of 2017, this guy's an MVP candidate. The Eagles are 11-2. They look like a Super Bowl contender. All of a sudden, he gets injured. You're separate from the team, no matter how hard you try to be a part of meetings and you try to be on the field in practice and those kinds of things. You are separate. And so he did feel that separation. And so he did say, you know, I reflected on that. Maybe there are times I wasn't a great teammate. Maybe there are areas I can kind of improve on. And so, you know, that happens last year. And then this year, he wants to come back for week one. The organization says, sorry, you got to wait 2 weeks. He sits out. He comes back. He doesn't play as well. The team's losing. Nick comes in again. I mean, I remember talking to you guys before that Rams game, and we were joking about the scenario that actually played out,
yep,
which was Nick Foles comes in, and he wins.
And it seemed impossible. It seemed totally impossible.
Yep. And it happened again. So think of that happening 2 years in a row, and he just said his emotions were all over the place. And, you know, he kind of reflected and said there are probably things I could have handled a little bit better. I mean, the guy's only 26 years old. It was a tough situation. And as much as I know people love Nick Foles, I got to think it's going to help him a little bit just from a pressure standpoint that Nick's not going to be here for 2019.
I would agree with that 100%. We're talking to Shield Kapadia of The Athletic. So, Shield, going forward, now I don't know when the next mini camp is. I guess is it post-draft or is it pre-draft the next time the team is there?
Yeah, it'll be after the draft, probably in late April, early May.
Post-draft, as a member of the media that has to ask the tough questions, how do you handle this as far as, I mean, we had Chris Long on last week. Yeah, last week, and you know, I asked him, I'm like, well, how do you go about, like, are you wondering who it is? Are you questioning? Are you guys texting to say, was it this guy? Was it that guy? And that may be unfair, but that's human nature. Carson even said with you guys, sitting down with you guys, that, hey, listen, you know, you try to play detective. As a member of the media, how do you handle it? Are you going up to guys that you suspect maybe you're doing it? I mean, how do you handle it?
No, I think you want to get a gauge overall, and certainly have been doing this already, of just sort of what is his standing in the locker room. I mean, there's 53 guys on the roster, 8 practice squad players. I think sometimes people think, oh, you know, these guys are all best friends and they're all going out to dinner and they're all hanging out. I mean, there are going to be some cliques. There are going to be some guys who like the quarterback more than other people. And really, just from the standpoint of being the quarterback, you're always going to be in a tough spot, because pretty soon, whether it's this offseason or next offseason, you're going to be making way more money than everybody else. You're going to be getting the endorsements. You're in all the headlines. When the team's playing well, you're getting the credit. So I think it's a storyline to continue to monitor. You know, I don't think he's got to be best friends with everyone, but I think what's been tough for him is when you talk about leadership, I mean, leadership is really developed in those tough moments, whether it's you know, the team battling back from adversity or playoff games where you're down, that kind of thing. And this, and he hasn't been on the field for those games the last 2 years. So it's been tough, I think, to develop that leadership. So I think you just will talk to people, get a sense of, you know, where is this guy standing in the locker room, see how he's interacting with people, see how the team's doing, all those different types of things, and sort of cover the story that way.
All right. There he is, Shield Kapow, the Athletic Shield. Great stuff, man. And congratulations. You're among the elite of reporters out there. They Come wouldn't on, have asked me to go, for sure.
We knew that already, John. Come on.
That's right. That's right, Shield.
Oh, love you, Shield.
Hey, Shield, there's some people out there mad at you guys right now, Shield.
Listen, you know.
How do you respond to that? How do you respond to Jack McCaffrey on Twitter, more or less, saying that you guys shouldn't have done it?
You know, I got the text and was, you know, you get time with the quarterback to address a big topic. I didn't really think twice about it. I mean, that's the team's decision and Carson's decision about who is sort of available to that. But, you know, you get that kind of availability. It's, to me, no different than if a player or a coach is calling you up and saying, you know, I wanted to talk about this specific story. So that's sort of how I addressed it.
Right on, Chiel. Appreciate it, man.
Appreciate it, brother.
Take care, guys.
Yeah, I mean, make no mistake about it, Ikey.
Yeah, don't be mad at Chiel.
You'd be damn sure I'm going to that.
Exactly.
I don't care. Like, listen, I don't care how close I am with you, or you. If right. You didn't get it, you didn't get asked.
Yeah, you didn't get an invite.
That seems like a you problem, not a me problem.
Exactly. And Jack would have been there, too.
Yep.
Had he got the invite.
Listen, Jack McCaffrey's as old school as you have in this media, man.
Yes,
and that's
sir.
What I love. My first radio job was being his producer, weekend producer. For Blackjack.
Oh, yeah.
So I love Jack. But, yeah, Jack mad, and he put it out there on Twitter, and then, you know, the chaos ensued among the writers. It was great. Back to the phones.
Oh, Les wasn't a part of the scrum?
I haven't seen him. He must be on vacation or something. His wife might have confiscated his phone. Have you seen Les active on there?
No, he is active on Twitter.
Today?
Did they have, like, a meeting?
Les didn't get the invite.
I'm starting to think there was some kind of meeting. Like, clearly, you can't pick out this level of scrutiny in terms of who you're going to have.
They just
at the
did.
Field.
They just did,
unless
Ben.
You have, like, like, you can say, oh, don't read into it. No, like, I'm going to read into it. They clearly handpicked who was and wasn't going to be there. It's not like there was an even, if there were three reporters there, I'd go, okay, they had to pick three. But it was, like, an odd number. It was, like, six.
Yeah, but it's, so let me give you
it's
my insight.
An even number.
It was a weird number, not an odd number. Funny
Thank
guy.
You.
But you look at it, McClain, Zach Berman, and by no means am I saying that these guys aren't doing their job and aren't good reporters. But yeah. McClain, Berman, Rube, mm-hmm. who else was there? Dave Zangaro, mm-hmm. Shield, and Tim McManus.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a few of those guys very, very well, and I can't speak any higher of Shield and Tim McManus of anybody because I know them the best. They're the best,
yeah,
right?
Rube.
Well, no, Rube's been doing it forever. All the guys are great, right?
Yeah.
But of the guys in town that aren't going to do a hit piece on Carson Wentz afterwards, I'd say those are the safest guys that are going to be fair about it, right? Because I read this transcript over and over. Mm-hmm. I'm ready to put a hit piece out there saying, well, what exactly did he say? Right? Like, he didn't really say anything. He came out and he said, well, you know, I guess I could be a better teammate, but, yeah, we're all selfish. Right. I guess I could be. Well, I mean, I'm just saying.
Is that
saying,
what you got out of that?
Yes. Read it over and over again. He doesn't want to talk about specifics, but mm-hmm. the gross stuff, no, that's not true. Mm-hmm. What's the other thing that he talked about? The teammate to call him out. Specific mm-hmm. information. Like, oh, I'm going to get into specifics. No,
he
that
stood
ain't
up
true.
In the meeting, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's not true. Mm-hmm. I don't know where that came from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it was good that he addressed it, but I think they picked the people that are most professional to really report. And not necessarily doing an opinion piece, right?
Right.
Because this wasn't supposed to be an opinion piece right
exactly.
off the bat. And they picked the guys that I think they felt the safest with doing that. Elliot didn't get the call. Elliot Shore Parks. You know? He maybe because he's been doing hit pieces.
Yeah,
on him.
Exactly. It's probably a reason why that didn't happen. The reason why Joe Giglio didn't get a call. Reason why you didn't get a call.
I know why I didn't get a call. Believe me.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.